podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
That intro is and even when I edit I've never noticed how long that intro is, but this is Sports Unplugged. This week Gav and Kev, Avi and Connor obviously have work commitments and stuff like that, so it is clashing with them at the moment, so we're going to cover as much as we can throughout the season for them, wherever you need it. Kev, how are you, my man?
I'm really good, really good. Big weekend ahead of sport. Huge weekend of sport.
Yeah.
All around the world as well. It's massive when you sit down and, right, what are my plans for the weekend? And then you look at it and you think, my God, there is
not doing much, just sitting down watching
stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I said to the business, do you want to go out the weekend with your mates? Do you want to sort something out?
Yeah, you start handing over bank cards and saying, you knock yourself out, just stay out for ages.
Yeah, take your time, your grand.
Yeah, exactly. But look, disclaimer, I watch a bit of sport. I dabble in sport, I suppose, when it's outside of Liverpool Football Club. So if anyone's in the chat tonight and you want to educate me on anything, feel free to. If you want to make a suggestion as to what we could talk about or what our opinions would be on certain things, absolutely throw them in there as well and we'll have a chat about them. And I didn't realise how big a weekend it was of sport until me and you earlier on today just start going, right, what are we talking about? What's happening? And then you were like, Barca and Real, Inter, Juventus, Liverpool United. Obviously, I know about Liverpool United. And then I wanted to talk about a bit of golf. I wanted to see if anyone's into the NFL, who their team is, and how it's going. Because when the dark nights draw in and Sunday nights come, it's great crack to watch that red zone, isn't it? So
it is. The red zone is the one thing that I wish they had on Soccer Saturday. It's the one thing I wish Soccer Saturday was, that you can watch Soccer Saturday across the four divisions. Yeah. And goal goes in and the camera would flick to it and you'd see the replays and it'd be fantastic. But the red zone's great. It's spread across so many games and there's all action. So at least you can soak up what's going on. Because the one thing I find with NFL, it can be really long.
Yeah.
I mean, boringly long if nothing's happening. And if you ain't
I don't mind when they put on one game and you're watching it, but they're just zapping to other games to show you.
It kind of breaks it up
because it's hard to watch when you know the rules. It's even harder when you don't, because you literally don't know why there's all these stoppages. But we get to NFL a bit. If you're watching, nice one. Again, don't forget, throw in whatever you want into that chat and we'll have a chat once it is about sport. Throw it in there and we'll go about it. And as I said, we're going to talk about Formula One, golf, UFC, NFL, football, and anything else that you want to talk about. Cloptimistic Free World says, bring on United. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Just before we go on, because Salah, little snippets coming out from an interview with Sky, I presume, from the last couple of days, probably Wednesday or Thursday. And the big thing to come out is that he says, look, I'd play my last game. I'd play every day of my career at Liverpool if I could. And they said, well, how are things going? He said, well, that's not for me to say. It's not in my hands and stuff like that. What did you make of it? Because I'm getting mixed reviews on Twitter and stuff like that. I'll tell you now, I think he signs an extension. I think you'll see him there till 2025 at least. That's my opinion. But even the words that come out of him, Kev, I looked at the body language and he just looks so content.
He didn't
look frustrated or anything when that was going on.
You see some players when they're coming up to contract negotiations and they get very fidgety when they're doing interviews that my agent is dealing with this or it's being dealt with, move on kind of thing. He answered the questions that were put to him and he was relaxed, calm. Yeah. I agree, I think he does sign, mainly because, and from the club's point of view, the cost of replacing him is more than what he's reportedly asking for. It makes no sense not to sign him. And the way I look at this thing, it's about the timing. It's the little details now, you know, maybe image rights or stuff like that. It's small things to get done. He's content. He's happy.
Yeah.
If it's not how we think it is, it puts a hell of a lot of pressure back onto the club. If it's not,
so what you mean by when he says it's not in my hands, I'd love to spend every day in my career in Liverpool,
exactly,
and everything's not right, he's basically, he's throwing a curveball in there to the club, or he's hitting a big serve into their court and to see what comes out of it.
Exactly.
But you made a great point to me before we stuck him on air, and you said to me, Gav, listen, the way the club is run now, and the way they keep everything in house, you can't, under any circumstance, see Liverpool allow Mo Salah to do an interview with Sky 2 days before a game at Manchester United and talk about his contract if everything wasn't absolutely fine.
No way. There's no way the media crew, and you got to look at the social media crew as well at the club, the amount of PR stuff they've been pumping out in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Promoting Salah and bigging him up. It's every day. It's a new record. It's something else. It's how much the club love him, and rightly so. I can't for the life of me believe the club's media team would allow him anywhere near Sky to be put up, because they know they're going to ask about the contract.
Yeah.
If the club weren't comfortable in the answers that he was going to be given, you know, the club could
Club will block that interview going out until it was edited down to the way they wanted, because they have a big say in this stuff.
They do, of course. I mean, the thing is, Sky and BT will ask the club, we want to interview XYZ player. The club will say, well, no, not him. You can interview him and this guy instead.
Or you can interview him, but they're not asking A, B, and C.
Yeah. So they know that it's a long season ahead, and Sky will want access to players down the road. They'll want access to Klopp down the road. They're not going to want to shit in their own doorstep, you know? So they'll play ball as well. And the snippets that I've seen so far, I'm looking forward to seeing the whole thing, but the snips I've seen so far, he's happy. He's raising his family in the city, and he likes it, you know? I think he likes the idea of being the main man.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that the club and the side is built for him to succeed. He's already seen players leave, and it not the grass isn't greener on the other side. And why wouldn't you want to stay with Klopp until Klopp goes?
Well, that's the thing, because at 29 years of age, you know, you do see people like making a move, and you know, it's their last big contract. You see that all the time, Kev, don't you? And we're getting into a big, massive chat around Salah, because me and you could go on all night about this. And if people want us to stop, just tell us and we'll fucking stop.
Yeah,
it's your Friday night.
There's no air horns on this one. But
no, I don't have any fucking stuff on this. I have to play it off my phone into the mic. I'm using the different software tonight. The swanky one isn't being used. But you see players moving, and it's the last big contract. And this could be his last big contract. I don't think it is. I think he could still, in, you know, 4 years' time or 5 years' time or whatever it is, at 24, 25, 24 years of age, turn around and still get another contract, 2 year mega deal somewhere. You know, we could go off to China, but he seems like a very.
You look at Ronaldo, Ronaldo
with 36
with a 2 year deal.
If you look how the MLS is progressing, And the way that's going from strength to strength for me, the MLS, the way it's attracting players and the quality that's there. And his name is absolutely humongous. And if he went over there, they could be offering him like buckets of money, sort of way. So I think he doesn't
come across to me as a player who plays for that anyway.
What I'm saying is that this would be a mega contract that he would get. But even if he moved to the likes of Real Madrid, just for argument's sake. He's going in there, and he's probably getting what Liverpool. He's probably getting what he's asked at Liverpool. He's getting a Real Madrid, right? Probably getting a bit more, but he's not going in there with. He's not going in there with the sure thing that he nearly has at Liverpool. If you get me,
Like
Liverpool are so strong at the minute, and I think they'll only get stronger. You know, the sort of way, and he is it worth the risk to go even to a mega club like, you know, Real Madrid, or well, Barcelona won't happen. They haven't got a pot to piss in. Do you know what I mean? It's one of
PSG
those
PSG or anyone like that. I mean,
and you'll win domestic stuff at PSG, but you're no more sure of winning the Champions League than you are at Liverpool, if you know what I'm saying.
I'll be honest, right? I think it was probably my first time on a pod, and I said, I don't believe for a second that Alisson, Virgil, or any of the other players extend their contract without talking with the rest of the squad and making sure that everyone is on board and that they're all in it together.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that they all decided that, we're all going to extend. And they decided to do it this summer, whatever way they wanted to do it. And I don't believe for a second that Salah and Mane and maybe even Bobby weren't involved in those discussions between the dress inside the dressing room. Yeah. So I think it's done. I think it'll get done, and we'd all be. I was kind of hoping it would be done and signed and sealed and everything and announced before this weekend's game.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they don't drag this out into December.
Yeah,
the landed on us just before the January window.
Well, my worry always is, and Kloptimistic Free World says, and I don't know, can you not just call yourself Free World again, buddy? Because it was much easier. He says, Salah will want money on par with the best player in the world in FSG, run it like a business and have wage caps. We are lucky the Spanish clubs are in a mess, which works in our favour. That's fair. Because I think.
Yeah, but we don't have a wage cap.
We don't have a wage cap. We have a certain way of doing things and play a structure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's right. If Barcelona and Real Madrid seen that interview or that snippet, they'd be all over it. And you know how they work. So it's one of those. But look, we won't, I won't dwell on it too much. I think you're right. Yeah. I think I always worry when a player with 2 years to go gets to January and they've 18 months. That's when I really start to worry.
I was really confident with Genie that he was a done deal at 18 months. It wasn't until it got to the October that I thought, nah, this isn't getting done. And because if it wasn't done in the summer when he had 12 months, I just thought, nah, his agent is letting the ball go here, or they're asking for too much.
Mm.
Whatever the thing was, I don't know. And I think that it'll come out in a book somewhere down the line what really happened. Like the Fekir stuff, it's starting to come out now what really happened.
Yeah.
It'll all come out in the wash with Genie what really went on. But I think with Salah, the club can't afford to let him go. They just can't.
No, and I think, like, as an optimistic Liverpool fan on this sort of thing, as you said, the amount of social media they've done. Now, in fairness, Salah has kind of prompted it with some of the fucking stuff he's done over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But like, even midweek when we don't have a game, or, you know, and they're throwing stuff out, and it's like, and even the wording of it. You know, they're not just saying what a brilliant goal. He says, look, they're talking about you're in the company of greatness and stuff like that. That them words are big words, even for a player of Salah's standing at Liverpool. So it's one of those. Paul Gormley says, I really think Klopp will extend as well. And this is a massive part of the rest of the lads signing extensions. I've said that if Mo Salah extends his contract at Liverpool, it'll be the biggest contract extension you've ever seen at the club. But I will backtrack slightly. I think Klopp goes in 2024, but Paul, if you're right and he extends, that is the biggest contract extension in the clubs in ever at the club for me ever.
Love nothing more to be wrong in my life than to see
Jesus Christ. I'll give anything to be wrong on that one, anything. But anyway, look, we said we'd have a 10-15 minute chat on that, and we have, and then we'll be coming back to Liverpool and United and all later on. But we've other sports to cover now. You like Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the only reason I know that is because I watched, I don't know whether I watched, I was on a show with you, and you mentioned Formula One a couple of weeks ago, saying that should be a good race and stuff like that. Hamilton had taken a 10-place penalty or something like that.
It was Russia. It might have been the last race. He took because they had to replace the engine. They had to make a decision to replace the engine. And if you replace the engine in the car, you take a 10-place grid penalty.
Yeah.
But he qualified in pole, so he started 10th. Or he started 11th, so whatever it was, and he cut his way through the field and got a really good finish. But I love Formula, because I'm a mechanic, so I've worked with cars on and off since I left school. So I've always been interested in Formula One and racing ever since I started watching it when John Watson was racing. You know, he was driving with an Irish flag, as far as we were concerned. And that's what my father was into it, and I got into it that way.
Yeah.
And you grow up with Piquet and Prost and Mansell and then Schumacher, Senna. Senna was absolutely
I watched it a lot more when it was on BBC.
Yeah, because it was free to air and it was Sunday afternoon and we didn't have sports channels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it was great on a Sunday.
Dinner.
Yeah, just sit with your dinner watching the Formula One, them all buzzing around and the speeds were going on. I think it's kind of restricted now, isn't it, with the engines they have and the stuff like that, which is probably a safety thing.
Yeah, because the engines they have, they're only 1.6 litre petrol engine, with the turbos and the boosters. And
yeah, everything. but the rest of the car weighs about 8 kilos.
Yeah, they get up to about 308 kilometers an hour in a straight with the flaps open. They're quick. And I mean, this weekend now it's in Austin, so it's going to be a dry race, no rain. Love Formula One in the rain. Because you see a proper test of driver skill then in the rain. But Austin is a great circuit because it offers this pace and skill. You know, it's a bit of a mix between an IndyCar circuit and a traditional European circuit where you've got the wall, where you don't have the off runs that Formula One has now in the modern tracks. So there's the danger element there. But this world championship is so tight. Between Hamilton and Verstappen is so close.
But that's what's grabbed my attention because, like I said, I watched it a lot in probably the 90s, I'm being honest. You know, I think I watched it a lot during the 90s. You know, you had got Prost, you'd Mansell, then you had Damon Hill and Schumacher's kind of struck up a bit of a rivalry in the mid-90s. And then, you know, Schumacher was unbelievable, but like, I can't.
It got repetitive, didn't it?
That yeah, but I think Hamilton wins his first one in 2008. And I remember him in a race winning the fucking title on the last lap in Brazil or something like that. It was mental. And I was kind of going, well, and you know, these kind of big stories throw themselves out there and Vettel and stuff like that. But this year, it's kind of caught me attention a couple of times. Now, I'm not telling you I sit down and watch races all the time. You know what I mean? I don't. But this has kind of caught me attention because you've seen rivalries in the past where, you know, he's been a bit, like Schumacher was a fucker for it. He crashed into you just to, you know, make sure you didn't finish so he could win a title. I think he done that to Damon Hill. But
yeah, he did.
But this one is seems to me like it's a lot very personal. Like very personal. Like
there's been two major incidents.
Well, there's an overtaking incident, then there's one where your man puts his car on top of the other fella's car.
And he's
literally driving around with him on top of him. It's like a double decker fucking Formula One car. But it's got very, very personal. And they always seem like I kind of, you know, on a Sunday or a Monday, usually on a Monday, I'll sit down lunchtime, have a cup of tea, and I'll kind of scroll through BBC Sport and kind of what happened over the weekend and stuff. And it just seems to be Hamilton has an issue with Verstappen and vice versa, regardless of what happens in the race.
Yeah, I think there's only about 8 points in it. And it's, I think Verstappen's had 7 wins, Hamilton's had 5, but Hamilton's had more second and third place finishes through the season, so it's really close. Formula One hasn't had a championship race like this for a while, and it's needed it for a long time. You know,
the Balloon World Championship. I want to get on to that in a minute.
That was epic. That was epic.
Yeah,
but brilliant. I think this race, once it starts to head towards the last few races, now you've got
how many's left?
I think it's about 4 or 5. You've got this one. There's Mexico. I'm not sure there's one in Japan. I think that one might have been cancelled. And then it finishes up in the Middle East in Dubai. And it won't be decided. It will go down to the last race because I don't think they did it this year, but I think in previous years where they had the last race was double points. I don't think they've done that this year, but it'll go down to the last race. It'll be nip and tuck all the way through. But it's good racing as well because no one's running away with it. Even down the field, Ferrari are making a resurgence. McLaren are back in doing bits again.
And would I be right in saying if Hamilton wins this one, he would go clear as the most?
He would go clear, yeah. He's on seven. Yeah, he'd go on eight. And he's already ahead of him for the most Formula One wins.
Yeah.
You know, the argument is always put out, he's in the best car, so he should be winning. Mm-hmm. But to get into the best car, you've got to show that you can do something with a crap car. Yeah. And he did. And so did Verstappen. Verstappen was finishing 6th, 7th, and 8th with cars that shouldn't have been anywhere near the top 15.
Yeah,
you know, these drivers are really, really special. They're really, really... And Verstappen's father was racing in the 90s. It was Jos Verstappen. So it's in his blood, it's in his DNA. So he's grown up and been around it all his life.
Yeah, four or five races to go. It is something if you're not into Formula One, you think just go and have a look or have a check it out. I think it's actually it might be Sunday evening. Liverpool might be playing.
Yeah, it's I think about 7 p.m. 7 or 8, 7:30 start, something like that.
Yeah, so if catch the highlights are
yeah, exactly, you know, catch the highlights.
Keep up with it. Jonathan, I'll get on to that Balloon World Championship now. The first 500 metres is good in Formula 1, but the other 30,000 metres, he's not too sure on.
Do you know what, Jonathan? It was better, I think, when they had fuel stop, when they could stop for fuel and tyres. When they changed it, that they only did the pit stops just for tyres, the strategy almost went out of it because they used to be able to fuel and fuel them heavy or fuel them light, so teams didn't know what they were doing. Yeah. But with the, I think it was a bad accident with a pit crew where one of the mechanics, the fuel hose didn't secure properly, and the fuel got over him, and he caught fire, and they got rid of it in the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's it was just a safety thing, but it was better back then. I understand what Jonathan's saying. It can be. That's why I prefer it in the wet, because in the wet you're forcing stops and it makes it a bit more interesting.
So when they stop now, they can either do fuel or tyres.
No. The cars at the start of the race are fueled for the race. They're fueled for the entire race
to do enough. Right.
To do enough.
The fuel strategy has gone out the window. It's just a stop.
Yeah, that's gone out the window.
So what is a tyre strategy now?
Yes, tyres. You have to use two different sets, two different compounds throughout a dry race.
Right.
You have to start on the tyres that you qualified in. So if you qualify in red tyre, the red band tyres, the quick slick tyre, fastest one, they'll only last about 10-12 laps in most tracks.
Yeah.
So you have to come in and change them, otherwise they dry off a cliff and you'll lose massive amount of speed. So you can predict when cars are going to stop to within a couple of laps. You know, it takes
whereas before they were literally throwing 3 liters of petrol into it and going, right, you passed away
smash
there
and for, dash kind of thing
for six laps, let me bring you in and pour another bit in. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Wiz, I reckon the F1 is the best it's been in a long time. So there you go. There's a bit of an endorsement for that. But the Balloon World Championship, for anyone that doesn't know, go and check it out. Couldn't believe this the other day because, and I put it on Twitter saying, we used to do this in my man's sitting room and like going years ago. And now there's a World Cup and there's literally two lads. It was like Peru versus Brazil. There's two lads. And what for me looks like a fucking furniture showroom with a car sitting in it, and they're just I think the rules are you can't hit the balloon downwards, you have to hit it
downwards,
sidewards or upwards, and they're jumping over bonnets of cars and fucking all trying to keep in the air. So go and
check that out, man. It's the
fucking mad
thing I've
it's
ever seen.
Mad it is.
If there was ever a sport that was destined for TV, I mean, is that an esports? Because mention esports quickly, because last night Diogo Jota was teamed up in a 2v2 tournament with probably one of the best FIFA players in the world, a guy named Tex, and they won a 2v2 tournament last night. But Diogo Jota has his own esports team, and he is as close to a professional standard in esports and FIFA as there is. He's probably the best professional footballer that plays FIFA in the world, bar none. He's unreal at it.
You know,
I watched a bit of him last night in that.
Laura Duffy said of Peru versus Germany, the car was because Volkswagen sponsored it. It's really okay. It was just a Volkswagen Polo randomly parked in the fucking DFS shop. But it was mad. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And when I seen it, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, we're doing that as kids years. Keep the balloon up, you know, in the sitting room, diving over sofas and stuff like that.
Well, birthday parties were made of that.
Yeah, that's what it was. You know, nowadays you throw the kids in the room and go, here, there's a balloon, keep it in the air, and you'd give you a chance to have a drink in peace. But no, absolutely mental, absolutely and utterly mental. Yeah. So I want to move on to golf because Rory McIlroy won last week. He won the CJ Cup in Las Vegas, played just outside Las Vegas, stunning looking golf course, but back on the winning trail. And do you know the way, Kev, you hear me talk a lot about Arsenal because I'm intrigued by them?
Yeah.
Right. I'm a bit like this with Rory McIlroy. I'm not as big a fan. I think if everyone plays to the best of their ability, he's the best golfer in the world. I genuinely believe that. But I wouldn't set out to watch Rory McIlroy. You know, I'd watch other players before I watch him, but I think he's brilliant. And I have this kind of theory because I am intrigued by him. I have this theory that if I see too much of Rory McIlroy in the press in the lead up to a tournament, he doesn't do well. Especially in majors, if you see him all week, you're like, he's talking too much, forget about it, you know that way. But he's kind of gone quiet, and then he comes back and wins, and I'm like, I think I'm onto something here. But the golf thing, like, people have been asking me, when does the season end? It doesn't end. the seasons don't end anymore. They just roll into one, roll into another. What are you like with golf, Kev? Do you watch golf?
I go out of my way to watch the majors, the Masters especially. I just think Augusta is a stunning looking course.
It's the best tournament in the world.
I think the thing with golf with me is players of the equipment. I don't know if it's the equipment, a combination of the clubs, the ball, the players. They're too long. Do you know what I mean? And I think the majority of courses now can't cope with them.
And well, they can, but they won't.
They have the course, the TV companies like low, in America especially, from what I get, they like low scoring. Yep. I watched a British Open, I think it might have been a Carnoustie, and it was one with something like three or four over.
Yeah, it probably was Carnoustie because it's probably the most severe of the open venues. If
yeah, and I just thought, you know what, that's a proper test of someone's skill. It doesn't matter if you can hit the ball 350, 380 yards.
Yeah.
Because the rough was so punishing. Yeah. And I prefer to watch that. But I can understand why the TV companies want winners with 15 under and 16 under, because it gets the crowd up, it's exciting and what have you. I can understand it. But I'm not avid in it. You know, I don't think it has the personalities it used to have. You know, with the likes of Faldo, Sam Torrance, Colin Montgomery, will he ever win one? That kind of intrigue isn't there anymore. But I don't think the European players are at a par. And I think the Ryder Cup exposed that. The Americans are just so damn good at the minute.
Well,
I think it was a combination. Yeah, look, I mean, yeah, the crowd, having the no fans and everything like that is fine.
Well, it's the biggest factor for me.
Don't lie.
But the biggest factor for me was he picked the wrong team. But just saying on golf, they're too long, right? Bryson DeChambeau being the main culprit in this,
he's
because
ridiculous.
He's going to the limit. He's called a scientist. He doesn't read greens. He gets graphs out and all sort of, like, he's notes upon notes upon notes. All his clubs are one length. That's a big thing now. Like, if you buy a set of golf clubs, like my golf clubs, they start with a driver, which is the biggest club in the bag, which would be the longest, and it goes down to the putter, which is the one you use in the green, which would be the shortest.
Yeah.
And they all go in different lengths and stuff like that. That's fine. He uses one length on everything, bar is driver and maybe tree wood or whatever, the woods. All right. And like during COVID, he went off and done all sorts of stuff and came out with driver. He has driver shafts that are right on the limit length. I think 48 inches is the longest you can have them. And ball speed. It's all about ball speed now. Ball speed is how quick you're getting that face to hit that ball. Sounds very simple, but it's not. It's a massive skill he has. Don't get me wrong. He has massive power, but it's actually a ridiculous skill he has. You know, Wizard says, you know, DeChambeau designed his game on science. That he didn't. He has ability. He's naturally gifted. But what he's done is he's looked into the science of it, how a ball acts, how, you know, a club reacts. It's mad to watch. Like, he was done once. I remember watching it live. He was on a green and he had a putt. And I think he took 4 minutes or 5 minutes over this putt. He walked around the green, and the players with him are looking, going, is this for fucking real? You know, but it's one of those. Ham Waller says he's deadly at pitch and putt. Nice one. Good man. And keep going with it. I love a good game of pitch and putt. I like par three stuff as well. But anyway, onto the golf. They can tame them. And the way they tame them is they can lengthen the course out a bit more, because these courses that are picked for PGA tournaments, Kev, or Opens, would have the facility that if me and you went, that hole would be 400 yards long.
Yeah,
it'll be 500 yards long for the pro. They just move it back a couple of tee boxes. But then they can do stuff like don't cut the fairway. You know, make the fairway 20 foot wide, and if you go left or right of it,
you're
in fucking 2 foot of grass. And let's see how you get on then. The problem is that they make them too fair for the level of skill that's there. So they have wide fairways that are 50, 60 foot wide. Well, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, maybe. But then you have a force cut, you have a second cut of rough, and then you have rough, you know.
Yeah, and even the rough is for the American.
But these boys don't miss by that much. If they miss one badly, they have the skill to get out of it in the rough that they're in. But there was one, I think it was a US Open where they played, I think it was called Chambers Bay, and I want to say it was 2014, but I could be wrong. And these boys had a nightmare. The greens were horrendous. They were fast. You couldn't ground the fucking club anywhere because it was all considered sand, the whole course. And you can't ground the club in sand and golf.
No.
Right? And you could not ground the club on this course before you took a shot. You had to keep the club off the ground, right? And there was murder over it because the players couldn't play. Now, weather is one thing, but when you set up a course in a certain way and you're getting fellas going around and the weather's perfect, but they're all on, the winner is even par going into the last round, you'll get players giving out.
Yeah, I know, I get that.
And you're right, Americans don't like it. Americans want to see birdie, 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 loads of cheers, loads of this, and make it a massive event. Whereas golf, when you strip it right back, is a game of skill. And if you have par fours that are 300 yards long, and this fella can hit it 300 yards with the second or third longest club in his bag, it's not a game of skill anymore.
No,
you know, it's not. So it's one of those. It's absolutely unbelievable.
I mean, you play a lot as well, don't you? So I lived in America for a couple. I was selling lad. I lived in America for a couple of years, and I played when I was in high school. I just used it was a dodge because I used to be able to, used to get out of school early on a Wednesday if you were in the golf team. So I was like, okay. When I was living back here, my next door neighbor, he was mad into golf, so he showed me how to hold a club, and that's all I needed to show your man when I was in America. How do you hold a club, son? I was like, yeah, here you go, I can hold a club. Yeah, right, you're in the team. I was delighted with life. I managed to get out of school half days and all that for a couple of years. It was great. So I used to play, but. If I got around 9 holes in 45 or 46, I was delighted with life. I was absolutely excited as well. 14 or 15 years.
Nine holes, 45 shots would be 90 overall. Yeah. That's a good scoring golf for a
novice. And I was a complete novice. I mean, I grew up playing hurling, so I knew how to hit a ball. But hitting a ball straight was a completely different thing. Again, like it's the skill involved, not moving your head, all that kind of stuff, the detail that. Just for a normal club player that you need to be able to master is unreal, just on normal runner stuff. Not a mind when you're at a competitive level.
Mm. Well, Avo says, what's your opinion on hybrid clubs, Gav? Do you agree with them? I've no issue with any golf clubs. I don't use hybrids myself. A lot of people do. They'll use a, you know, 4 or 5 iron, but that's a hybrid that has a bigger back on it. It's more forgiving and stuff like that. And it'll go through grass quicker and stuff like that. I don't use them. My bag consists of a driver, 5 wood, 4 iron, up to gap wedge, 2 wedges then on top of that and a putter. I only use 12 clubs, I think. You're allowed 14, I only use 12. But the technology is there. You know, like the golf clubs I use, and Veranda Cheese is in the chat there, he'll tell you, the ones I use have fucking carbon printing in them and all fucking sorts of stuff. Mad stuff and weights built into certain parts of them. So for forgiveness there's loads of gimmicks, but at the end of the day, you know, you can have all the equipment in front of you, but if you can't swing a golf club, you can't do it right.
No.
It's and the thing about golf is there's loads in power, there's loads of skill, but the consistency you have to have is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I watched the Rory interview after the Ryder Cup and he was broken. That's why I was surprised when I didn't even know he was competing last weekend, because I honestly thought he was going to take a good break from it. You know, take a good couple of months off, go away and just recharge and do it again. So maybe that's why he kept quiet. And he just went straight back into it off his own steam and seen how it went, because I wasn't expecting him to go back. But there was also an interview saying that with the quality of players that are in the USPGA now, if you go through a year and you might win 2 or 3 events, you've had a fantastic year.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas when Tiger was playing at his pomp, he was winning 7, 8, 9 tournaments in a season and all that. He was saying that those days are well gone. That you're going to have so many different winners of tournaments throughout the year and so many new names coming through that the room is there for personalities to come back through again, you know, if they're good enough.
Well, it all kind of, with the personality side of things, I know where you're saying it was a more romantic game going back years ago, and you had got stories behind players. The problem for me is when you see some of these players that they're trying to bring through, they try too hard to have a personality. You know, they try too hard. Just let it be natural. Yeah. And they'll find a way, whether they become a bit of a villain, a bit like Patrick Reid, or you get someone that's loved and then, you know, somebody is like, what is going on? A bit like Spieth, who's come back as well. Midnight Talker says, what wedges do you use? All my clubs are Cobra. So Cobra, Rad, Speed, Drivers, Irons, and then wedges are Cobra, SB, Cobra SB. They're nice, they're new. They're the 2021 version. And then an Odyssey Pour. So I hope that fills you in. Klopp the Mystic, who has threatened 14 times to leave here because we're not talking football, says, do you use adult clubs, Gav? Yeah, just about, mate. I paid a fucking enough for them, so I hope I got the adult version. Midnight Toker says he uses a 54 and 58 degree. I'm on 52 and 50. Sorry, he uses 54 and 60. I use 52 and 58. I used to use 54 and 60 in a Titleist Vokey wedge SM7, but I'm selling them. I have them there. I'm selling them. And I moved to a 52 and a 58. The 60 degree is too open. Only use our bunkers. Don't use her anywhere else. Let me see. Tom Boland loves the fact that golfers break clubs as if they swung them themselves. Yeah, that happens all the time. But that goes back to consistency. Like, I go down the driving range most Thursday nights. I usually go down, spend an hour or two down, come back. Grizzly show is on a Thursday night, and then I edit it. That's my Thursday night. I usually try to get a game of Warzone in with one of the lads as well. But I go down there, right, and I put earphones in, have a podcast on, and I'll hit balls and might hit 100, I may hit 200 when I'm down there. And out of that 200, I could probably hit, and I mean this, 180 really, really well. Really well. You know, like if I go down and hit a driver, Kevin, say I hit it well once, I'll do it again. When I hit it second, I go, right, let's do a tour. And my target is always hit five of them in a row. And then when you get to five, stand back and then go, right, you're driving down and you pick a hole in your head, maybe down the local golf course, say, right, I have to hit this shot now. And if you hit it, you can move on to your next club. It's a game I play it myself, yeah? But the consistency is just, if you're slightly out anywhere in golf, it's just...
It'll get found out, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, weakness, where the science comes back. That's where the science comes back from Bryson DeChambeau. You know, the sort of way, because he looks into the whole, not only the science of the ball and the club and, you know, what way is him, his body, what way his body moves, what way it's, he's so upright when he's standing, he has his own views on that. A lot of people bend their knees a lot more. He has this way of doing things. But just, I don't know, I just want to come on and talk about golf tonight you know, like Tiger Woods is out at the moment because of the crash he had. I think he's broke both his legs. What'll happen there? It'd be an interesting one to look at. And you asked me earlier, when's the season end? When does it stop? It doesn't. They just wraparound seasons, they call them. So the season ends. Usually, I think the season used to end in October. And then they'd usually be off, but they don't now. They play right through now. They go off to Australia. Yeah,
they're all different parts of the world. I mean,
It's
I know the European
full year game now.
Yeah, the European tour isn't really European. It's European from March to maybe September.
Yeah, well, that's a traditional golf season.
Yeah,
because even as a member of a local golf club, it's changed now because you used to have a handicap system, which was adjusted by a handicap committee and stuff like that. And your competition was, you start on Patrick's Day, believe it or not, and run till the end of October, Halloween, in around that. And actually, at that time, you'd be playing for fucking turkeys and hams for Christmas. But now, I think the whole year, all the competitions are counted because it's a World Golf handicap.
Yeah, it is.
Now.
It's all over.
So that's where the PGA Tour would do. Yeah, March to end of October.
Usually. Yeah, because they usually, with like the match plays and Ryder Cups, Walker Cups. I know the Walker Cup's usually earlier, and the Solheim Cup would be for the women would be earlier, but it would usually finish on a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup or something like that.
Yeah.
But now that you've got the Asian Tour going and players will go off and play in that to get ranking points and what have you. So it's a tough one to – I mean, the thing is they also have their own dedicated channels that they need filling with content for whatever time zone you're in the world.
Yeah.
So – the product is always non-stop. You know, the players at the top end, say the top 50, really got to pick and choose
Yeah, but well, they plan
what they don't.
Yeah, they planned a year out. As
you see,
tennis
fit. In that way. You know,
yeah, 100%. Well, one last comment here, Ham Waller. Of course, in dedication to Shawnee calling some of that the other night, I think.
That was
and I'd love to know who Ham Waller was before Ham Waller. I love to put a bit of swaz on my shots, Gav, like a Bobby. Now look, oh, fair enough. And then keep on the 60-degree, and that'll get you. That'll get you loads of swaz of a 60-degree, especially over a tight lie. But anyone that's into golf, keep some time in May or June free, because we're definitely going to be doing a day trippers golf weekend. And basically, well, we aren't all going away for the weekend. We're just going to have a game of golf. We might do it for charity. We don't know what to do it for. We'll think of something. And we're going to invite a certain amount of players to come and play with us. And then have loads of drink afterwards, basically. It's just another reason to have a day out. But there will be a day trippers golf thing going on in May or June of next year. So there you go. Right, Clapton Mystic is still here. He says he's a moany bastard, this fella. Golf season never ends. Does golf chat end? Well, we're ending it now. Is that all right for you, my man? Yeah, moany fuck, are you, on a Friday night? Touching on UFC. Not a huge card this weekend, but it's a card nonetheless. Where do you stand on UFC, Kevin? I have to ask you these questions, because if we're going to cover this show every now and then, I need to know what you like and don't like.
Callum Sanderson is probably the gospel when it comes to UFC and MMA in general. Callum knows his onions, so if I don't know something about stuff, I'll ask Callum. I'm very casual watching it. I like watching it. I love watching it. I mean, I think there's some fighters out there that you just, like, the guy who beat McGregor and schooled him last time, Numar Medadoff or something, I don't know where his name, he's unbeaten in some, like, 40 or 50 fights. He's unbelievable. But if it's on, it's like one of those things, when you got insomnia, if it's on, it goes, it's usually on in Vegas and it's 2, 3 in the morning, so I'll watch it. And I know this weekend is just a normal fight card. Don't think there's anything major standoutish about it, but it's on BT Sport, 9 p.m., I think, tomorrow night, for probably with the prelims and the main show. There's about 8 or 9 fights. I like watching it. Like, you know, it's the skill involved is unreal. It's a sport on its own now. It's when I first started watching it, it was just a bunch of fat guys who couldn't box. You know, couldn't have a career in boxing, so, or they came out of college wrestling and didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Now it's like, there's a guy I know lives near me. He's represented Ireland in Taekwondo, and the way he looked at it, he had to pay for himself to go to Japan to get his black belts, to get to the highest level he could in Taekwondo, and he did. And he represented Ireland and what have you. And he'd done it all off his own back, his own expense. But he said to me, like, if he wanted to make a living, he'd have to cross over to MMA to be able to make a living out of it, because there's no money in straight-up martial arts. You know, unless you're an excellent boxer with a promoter behind you,
yeah,
it's that or MMA. So especially in America, I mean, Phil will tell you, with American sports in general, American college wrestling is absolutely huge. High school wrestling is huge. And these guys, they go through the 4 years of college, wrestle for their college. If they're really, really elite, they might get selected for the Olympics. But once that's done, that's it. They had nowhere else to go. So they all started merging and finding their way through to MMA. And you see a lot of MMA fighters would be in their mid-30s before they really get to an elite level. And a lot older than what boxers would be. But I know it's a niche sport, but if you get into it, it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, to be honest with you, when it comes to UFC, you know, love him or hate him, McGregor put it to a different level. Interest, I think. Now, there is people out, like my brother in particular was, like, I'm 39, my brother's 37, he's watching UFC fucking years. Like, he used to watch it and say to me, oh, UFC, and I'd be like, what? You know? and he was watching years and years ago, before McGregor or any of them turned up, but McGregor kind of pushed it out there for me to people like me.
You brought it into the mainstream for people.
Yeah, the mainstream, I suppose. Yeah, that's the word to use, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but when you look at, and somebody says there, like, you know, it's not what it was when Conor got rich and Khabib decided, good luck, I'm out of here. You know, the sort of way they're kind of scratching around. And you're seeing, but you're seeing Paddy Pimblett a couple of weeks ago, and he'll get a massive backing in the UK and Ireland, I think. And
he's an exciting fighter as well, from what I've seen. Yeah, he's all action.
Yeah, he is. And he took a good few digs that night. Yeah. I watched the live, and he took a good few digs and came back and finished a man well. Jonathan says there's an Irish guy making a UFC debut November the 7th in New York.
Usually the guys who make their debuts in the UFC will come through a European, like Cage Wars is another promotion in Europe. They'll come through that before going to the UFC. It's if you're making it to the UFC and there's any kind of a push behind you, they will promote the living daylights out of you. I mean, the scene in the UK is really, really good at the minute. The UK and Ireland is pretty good. McGregor, look, he's toxic. He's Marmite. You know, people will love him and back him to the hilt, or they'll hate his guts. But he puts bums on seats. He gets pay-per-view buys like nobody else.
Yeah.
He reminds me a lot of Chris Eubank in that case. You remember with Eubanks, people would pay to watch him get his arse handed to him. It was that kind of way, but he's that. You know, he's one of these guys that if McGregor's fighting, you'd either watch him to see him win or watch him to see him get his arse kicked. But yeah, either way, you're going to watch it.
They might need a couple more like that.
For Europe, especially.
Hamwala has me down for 33 or 34. I must owe him a few quid and he's looking for a back. 39, 40 in March. And I'm hoping to go to Dubai to play golf for my birthday. I'm off to see a friend of mine called Matt, nicest guy on Twitter. For anyone that knows him, absolute madman. But he wants me to go to Dubai and spend a week with him, which could be dangerous. Me 40th could be me last, Kev, I'm being honest. But no, I just wanted to touch on it, see what you thought.
Yeah, UFC is good. There's a lot of this is what I mean with this weekend. There is so much choice this weekend. I mean, especially look, we know that the Premier League is full to the rafters this weekend with some quality games, you know, and everyone knows who's playing. Obviously, we're playing last. There's some cracking games tomorrow. Leeds Wolves will be a cracker because God knows what condition Leeds are in at the minute with the amount of injuries they're carrying. Wolves will be up because of the comeback against Villa. West Ham, Spurs, you know, disaster in Europe again.
Yeah.
And West Ham were really good in Europe. You know, how will that go? London Derby, I think West Ham are fine now to be the second club in London.
Mm.
You know, so there's some tasty games, but there's some really good games on the continent as well with Inter Milan, Juventus. Roma got absolutely tonked in Europe. They conceded 6 for the first time in Mourinho's career.
Yeah.
And I think they're playing Napoli. But the big one is El Clasico. People can Barcelona in the mud and what have you. I mean, El Clasico is still El Clasico. It's going to be one of the most.
It'll have a different dynamic to it as well, won't it? And we'll.
You guys got the new channel coming up that's going to focus a lot on this, isn't it? With the European football and other leagues and what have you.
It is like Shane Downs. Veranda Cheese what asked night golf. Obviously, Dubai, it's something I'd love to have a go at. Is the night golf in Dubai? Bonkers Shane Downs mentions the good rugby on at the weekend. Bonkers mentions T20 cricket that's coming. Laura Duffy mentions Brighton against City, which she thinks will go. Yeah, the new channel is it's something that we've been kind of been in the background for a couple of months now. And when I say in the background, I mean I'll tell you kind of how it came about. We talk Liverpool on this channel 95% of the time, bar stuff like tonight, where we just have a chat around sport and have, you know, very easy going and stuff like that. And it's something to do on a Friday night. And what we found was that when we like talking about Liverpool, we're not experts. We never claim to be, and everyone in the chat knows that. But we sometimes go off on tangents, you know, where my bit of obsession about Arsenal kind of creeps in. United will always come up with something going on there because they're big rivals to us. Whatever's going on at Chelsea, Newcastle now, you see what's going on at Barca, you see what's going on at Real Madrid. You know, I'm obsessed with the amount of goals that there is in the MLS. Like, it's just fucking mad league. I love it. Keita's South American, mad. And we kind of went off on tangents during shows. And the reaction we got, rightly or wrongly, was, what are you talking about them for? This is a Liverpool channel, right? Which is fair enough. Because sometimes we end up, we go off on a tangent. It kind of goes on for too long because we kind of get passionate about it and we get into it, you know, sort of way. So this has been kind of moving along. And like me, Shani and Keith were kind of being talking about this for a long while. Mostly the three of us, because the three of us get into debate over stuff like that. Because when you see us talk on a channel like this, people think we talk like that and then we disappear and I'll see you on Tuesday or Wednesday. Or it's not like that. Me, Keith and Shani and others are in WhatsApp groups, are we talking the phone or wherever it might be. And you know, it's one of those where we're kind of saying to ourselves, why don't we just do this? Now, we're not doing this. It won't have the amount of content that this channel has, right? Because there's only one of me. I can't fucking do everything, you know, the sort of way. But what we wanted to do was we want to bring out a channel that is about the Premier League, but if the stories down the leagues in England talk about it, Scotland, Ireland, you know, if that happens, let's talk about France, Germany, Spain. Like at the moment, I just think that Bayern Munich scored a goal and they must get three just tagged on automatically because they just keep scoring fucking goals after they scored a fourth. Yeah. They've done it to Leverkusen and they've done it during the week in Europe. So it's one of those where few people are saying the link to the new channel is not working. It should have been because I checked it earlier. But what to do is if you just type in Man On Football Channel in YouTube, you'll find it. I'll check that link later, but it's fairly easy to find. But, you know, we'd be talking about that, and we just ended up saying, why don't we just do something like this? So we're going to do, I think, two shows a week starting late November, and them two shows might be an update from Europe, but we're going to try to do about an hour, but we're going to try to fit as much in as we can, talking about this, talking about that, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. Sean will be on, Keith will be on. We'll have guests on. We're working on guests that you've never seen on the LFC Day Trippers. We wanted to be different to the LFC Day Trippers. We want to bring on people that, you know, are big into their South American football or their MLS or you know, concentrate on Germany, concentrate on France. They just watch French football, you know, the sort of way, or Italian football or Spanish football or whatever it might be.
Listen, stuff like that is really handy for us as well when it comes, you know, for people who watch and listen, because we're all fascinated by transfers and by who's doing what where.
Yeah.
Like Diaz in Portugal, what's he really like?
Yeah.
You know, the Copa Libertadores and the CONMEBOL tournaments in South America, who are the next players coming through? Who are the European clubs looking at? All that kind of stuff. It's interesting. And the thing is, apart from if you stay up, I remember BBC used to have one on BBC 5 Live. They had a World Football phone-in, and Tim Vickery would be on it.
Yeah.
And Tim Vickery.
He's one I'd love to have on.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. He's the gospel.
Well, if I got him on, it would be allowed on.
he would.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? If you wanted to find out about players from South, because I remember going on listening to him when we signed Coutinho, and he was going mad because we were pronouncing it Coutinho. We were all wrong. He was like, it's Coutinho and all that, or Coutinho. Yeah. We were like, okay, Phil. Nice. We'll call him Phil. But you know what I mean? I wanted to find out what he was like and what he was about. What was his story? And is he any good? Can he do it in the Premier League? And I'll tell you why. He gets more right than wrong. But to be interesting to have, to if you could have someone that we can interact with in the chat, well, on the screen, who we can ask questions of who's coming next and what's going on here, there, and everywhere.
Well, that's the thing, because like Keith could go on about South American football all night. Yeah. He just absolutely loves it. You know, Shawnee's mad about European football. I watch a little bit of European football. Premier League, and do you know what? Premier League for me, there's loads of intriguing teams in it. But in the league, going down the leagues itself, if you look at the likes of Atkins and Stanley, for me, is a mad story. Yeah, exactly. It's a mad story where they are and how they're getting on. Sunderland, I always look out for Sunderland because they've just fallen from a massive height. And Coventry are I think they're back playing in the Rico Arena.
It's called
the Coventry Community Stadium or something now. And those sort of things that catch my eye and I keep an eye out on. So that's what we want to do. We want to just talk about general football away from Liverpool. And that might interest a lot of people that are in this chat, because the Liverpool fans, the majority of them. But what we want to do is we want to be able to get on, chat about it, bring up all these different leagues, different teams you might have seen during the week. You mightn't have players you might know, players you might not know.
And Jonathan's right there as well, the League of Ireland. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
100%. Yeah,
there's a lot of lads in the chat who live over here. I live halfway between Cork and Limerick, but Turner's Cross is a bit far for me to be going on a week on a Friday night to go and watch Cork City, especially in the second division.
Yeah,
do you know? So it's like I wouldn't be too into the League of Ireland, but I'd be half interested in what's going on, you know, because you can guarantee that any player worth their salt that's coming through will get snapped up like Caoimhín Kelleher was. And usually, like your man, the keeper who's at Man City, Bazunu.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He played up in Dublin, didn't he?
He started,
so stuff like that would be interesting as well. You're really interesting.
The thing is, like, that's what we want to do, and we're not, like I said, we're not experts. We really aren't, but it's kind of grown because of conversations we have and what we get into on this channel, and then we kind of go, we can't go too far with that. It's a Liverpool channel, but it kind of just seems to come up all the time. So we said, why don't we do it? And it'll be very easy going. We are going to try guests, and we're going to just have a bit of crack with it twice a week. We're going to do something, I think, hopefully next week, just to do a full show on it to let people know. And not only that, let people come in and tell us, can you do this? Can you try that? And the thing that tipped it over the edge for us was Keith has come to us with an idea for a show, and it's a brilliant idea for me. And I'm not going to give anything away in it, but it will take research from Keith. I think he's going to try to do it once a month because that's the research he's putting into it. But it's something where basically, without sound patronizing, it's going to educate a lot of people on things that have happened in football. That's the only thing I will say to you. It's really, really, really good. And that's kind of the thing that went, you know what, that could be something we could do. So just look out for it. Subscribe if you can. I'm trying to sort that link out for you while I'm talking to Kev, but I'm not having much luck at the minute. But if you go on to, if you go on to our Twitter, and there's a tweet there regarding on the Day Trippers, you should be able to find a tweet there with a link to the channel. And I'm just going to check something else here if it's just live. So you know, I'm checking and I'm trying my best.
Are you doing that? The T20 is starting in earnest this weekend as well. It's in Abu Dhabi and Dubai.
Yep.
The second most watched sporting event in the world this weekend will be India versus Pakistan.
Yeah.
That's on Sunday afternoon, 2:00 or 2:30. The last time they played in the T20 World Cup, there was 277 million people watched it in India.
For fuck's sake.
It is a religion like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I love cricket. I absolutely love it. But I'm not a massive fan of T20. I watch it because the games are quick. 3 hours, boom, it's done.
Yeah.
You know, hour and a half batting each side, and it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. As many runs as you can get. Take as many risks as you can take. And the games are usually really good. It's starting off tomorrow, Australia and South Africa in earnest. I mean, we played today. Ireland lost to Namibia in a game that we should have won. We were favourites to win, but we threw it away, just played badly on the day. So we're out. And that's a massive blow to Irish cricket because of the money that they're going to lose for future, for kids, and setting up a league. I mean, there is a league in Leinster and there's a league in Munster. But they were depending on money from this T20 World Cup to fund more cricket in schools and what have you throughout the year. But we're out. That's a shame. But Australia, South Africa would be big. But India, Pakistan is going to be absolutely monstrous. And I mean, going to the World Cup, T20, India probably favourites. Favourites to win it outright.
Yeah, TGIS reckons India are going to win.
They should do. They've because of
midnight,
the IPL.
A midnight talker says T20 is the best format.
Well, it's quick. That's the thing. I mean, I prefer test matches. I started watching cricket in the late 80s, and I prefer test matches. I just do.
I wouldn't mind going to a test match and just, you know, sitting there and just having a beer and just chilling
for the day. That is it. I think I'll try that.
We should try more stuff like this. Because Veranda Shea says, Gav, would you ever try lawn bowls? He's played it down in Crumlin a few weeks ago. You're lying to me here. But ago, and it was brilliant. Have you ever tried lawn bowls? I'd love a go.
Never.
I'd love a go with that. Couple more questions. Jonathan says, I hope you still plan to do a pod on the 1990s Premier League fat footballers and the madness of it all. Of course, yeah. Inspired by Terry Venables, Brian Robson and Middlesbrough. Yeah, we are planning to do that, but only when Phil is available to do it. And so people have asked, where's Avi and Connor? They just work commitments have snookered them, and we're covering as best we can.
You guys got to think as well. Look, Avi lives in the States.
Yeah, well, so that's
he's in a completely different time zone. So
yeah, exactly. So we're just covering and as much as we need to and having a bit of laugh. And there was one other thing there. I am Ham Waller. Is Ham Waller going to tell us his name before he changes to Ham Waller? I don't think he is. He says, real talk, Gav, the best shows you lot do are the random chats between you and that loony Andy Young. We couldn't be doing that every week. You're fucking joking me. Because it takes me a while to get into conversations with Andy over the course of maybe a month or two, where I notice stuff that irritates him and I notice stuff that he says that's weird and I note them all in my phone. And then I come and have a big chat with him about it. Like the latest being like he has to spend loads of money on toasters. Because
I saw the picture of the toaster and the kettle.
Yeah, it's a smeg one, and he's basically trying to wash his upbringing off him as he grows older. Basically, that's what it is. Let me see. There's nothing else there. No questions, boys. Okay, hold on. Veranda Cheese's mother and brother are members, and I went down to try it. Honestly, I was good because of reading puts on the Green Health. Right, Veranda Cheese, you tell me when I can go and play that with you, because I know Veranda Cheese. I know I've played golf with him. He's a mate of Andy's as well. So you tell me, and I'll go. I'll film a day trippers lawn bowls tournament in Crumlin if we can go down and play. How does that sound? Midnight Talker got pissed once playing bowls. Nice. We had a laugh. Right, before we go into football, because we've got 15 minutes left, just to let you know, with me and Kev covering this show, we are going to try get into NFL, right? We casually watch it. We like the red zone. Yeah. We watch it on a Sunday when it gets down to the business end of it, which is usually Christmas onwards.
January,
January, February, I think Super Bowl.
Super Bowl tends to be the end of February. So when it gets down to the championship games, I tend to... Do you know what? The season really starts in earnest when they're finished in Europe. You know, they have their Mickey Mouse games over here, but when they get into like week 10, 11, 12, that's when you start seeing the deciders, you know, who's gonna be in the playoffs, who's gonna totally miss out. And that's when I start to get really, you know, I'll start going out of my way to watch it. But you ask me to name a player or quarterback, nah.
Yeah.
But outside of Tom Brady and players like that, you know, the exceptions, but in general, nah. I wouldn't be a biblical follower of it, but I'd watch it.
Okay. I'm trying to, I'm still trying to fix this link for you. that's how bad it's got, but let me see if I can fix this for
you. The one thing I find weird with American sport is the idea that you could be, like, years ago, I remember it was the LA Raiders. Now they're in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They just keep moving.
How in the blue hell do you...
They just moved the franchise.
He just up and moved. Could you imagine that in England, in the Premier League? You know, Spurs have decided to move to Ipswich. You know, because the county council in Ipswich decided we're going to build you a brand new stadium again. And it's bigger and it's better and it's got all the bright lights and the big thing. Could you imagine that? That's just alien to us over here. You know, I think they got something right with the college system, the way that, because they don't do transfers. You do player swaps. And, you know, you have a wage cap and a wage minimum and all that stuff. I think that's really good. But the idea that they can up a team and move it to a different city because they're building a better stadium for them.
Yeah.
That's just alien to me. That's why.
It's mad. But we're definitely going to try to get into it.
Yeah, we'll definitely give it a go.
My backstory to the NFL was I couldn't understand, like, how did you do home and away? There's loads of fucking teams. And then I was like, no, you're in a division and you play home and away against the teams in the division, and you play home against half the teams in the division, and home against half the away against this, and that's how you get your That's how you get your league finish in your division, and then it goes to playoffs from them divisions. And I get all that now. Yeah. And has he landed with the ball? We're on his foot, and is his foot in? And I was all over the shop. But I took the road of don't try over understand it. Just sit and relax and watch it, and you actually start picking stuff up. But yeah. Ray Dicko of this parish told me about 3 years ago that the New York Giants were good. And I went with them because I liked the city of New York, and they're shit. Right. Yeah. And they have been
not as bad as the Jets.
No, not as bad as the Jets, but again, the Giants. So between me and you, we're going to try keep an eye on the NFL, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we'll update people as much as we can. Let us know what your team will be.
You guys, let us know in the chat who you guys, who do you look out for? Who's ones to watch? You know, if you're sides, who's doing bits this year?
Yeah.
Who to avoid?
Yeah. So let us know who you think that might be. So last things, the best things come to those who wait. Big, big, big weekend of football. So, as you said, there's loads of cracking games in the Premier League.
Yeah, but there's only one that matters.
There's only one that matters, and you've done a big preview on Carnage last night, so we're not going to bore people with another big preview. But, Kev, you know, I've given a prediction. I think your prediction might have been 3-1, was it?
I think I went 3-1, yeah.
Yeah, and the only thing I would say is, I'm gonna ask you, will you stick to that prediction first of all? And people in the chat, throw us in your predictions for United against Liverpool.
Heart in the head one now. You
know, yeah, whatever you want. Whatever you want. We're not arsed. But the only thing I would ask you, Kev, is are you sticking to that prediction base, and what do you make of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer telling us that he might have players injured when we really know they aren't?
If he'd have turned around and said that Fred was injured and Fred was a doubt, I'd have said, yeah, fair enough. You pulled him off at halftime and he pulled up with a hamstring. I thought, yeah, fair enough. Bruno played the full game. He didn't look like he was on the effects of any kind of a... Yeah, that's an interesting one, Beja. Bruno didn't look like he was suffering any ill effects in that game. He ran his socks off, in fairness, in the second half. Marcus went off with a dead leg, but it was his second game back after a long layoff. You know, so it wouldn't be surprising to me if he does play. The thing is with United are out of the League Cup, so they've got a week off next week. So they can take a slight gamble with Marcus Rashford and any other player, to be honest. I don't think Fred will play. I'd be surprised if Fred plays if he had any kind of a hamstring injury. That's, you know, even a slight hamstring strain, you're not recovering in a few days. You know, and I don't think they're in a position where they can gamble. Not with someone. I mean, whether we like it or not, he's a tidy footballer who does a job. You know, he's not. It's one thing, I suppose. Look, you look at the Premier League table now, right? And the points in that everyone is really close, what have you. But the goal difference of the sides in the top three are in double figures already. There's the marker of where the three best sides are in the league. Mm-hmm. United are plus +3, I think.
Yeah, we're
plus +13 or +14. Yeah. Or no, we might be plus +16 or something.
Yeah, I think
we're like 16, that's what I mean. I mean, you don't really look at a points total at this stage of the season, but you can get a bit of a gauge on where sides are by their goal difference. It tells a bit of a story. And I think United have scraped through a lot of games this season, winning by the odd goal here and there, winning games they deserve to lose. And dropping points where they should have got something apart from poor finishing. They're a good side. They're a good side going forward, but they have problems at the back.
They give you chances.
They give you chances, but they get chances. They make chances for themselves as well. So on a good day for them, if their finishing is on par, they're capable of getting a result. You know, and in a lot of ways, this form kind of goes out the window a bit.
Yeah, if we take a quarter of the chances that they cough up to us, we'd score three or four.
Yeah, we could do. I mean, this game could be out. If they don't start it right, we could be out of sight in half an hour. We really, really could. If we're on it from the start, like we were at Atletico Madrid, we were on it for the first 15, 20 minutes. Under that kind of pressure, we could really turn that crowd in very quick time. You saw how they went off at halftime against Atalanta, and that wasn't the best Atalanta side by a long way.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we turn up to and play to anywhere near our capabilities or our form, where we're at, and play the game and not the occasion, then I think last year's win does us a lot of good this season. I think we could really, really hurt them, yeah. You know, if we're really on it.
There's a lot of people in the chat like feel like we owe United one, even though we won there last season. But I agree. I want to see us come out, and I want United to play to their best and us to play to our best, and then I want to see us win. That's what I want to see. I don't want us to go out. Like I've said, we win 4-1. I'm just so fucking not even confident. I'm just so I want this game now. I want to now. I don't want to wait. You know, when you have that big game, you kind of go, I'll wait for it because it's fucking, I'm still a bit nervous. And, you know, I kind of need a couple of days to get my head around this before I can get into it. I haven't been like that. No. Even before Atletico, since the win over Watford, I've been like, if we could play United tomorrow, bring it on. I'll fucking play them. No problem. It's just one of those. But, Ham Wallace says he always goes shouty at the end of the last 10 minutes of a pod. I'm sorry. Don't apologise. We're ignoring you anyway, but don't be worried about it. I'm only messing with my tongue. How could we be? We're reading this out. It's just one of those where I'd love both teams to play to their ability, and then Liverpool would win the game, and then we wouldn't have any bullshit coming out afterwards. But we'll have to wait and see. I'll just take any.
You get to the stage with big games, be it City, Chelsea, United. This is United's first real test of the season, you know, where they've played someone. Mm. I mean, they've had a really soft start to the season in a lot of ways. They played a couple of decent sides, but no one in none of their competitors. And we're a bit battle hard now. We've played Chelsea, we've played City.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at this and thinking, you know, there's nothing that United have that we haven't seen this season.
Yeah.
You know, they're not better than Chelsea. They're nowhere near City's level. I think I saw a snippet of an interview with Robbie Fowler earlier on tonight, and even he said it is one of his quotes that people don't understand how far United still are behind us, City and Chelsea.
Yeah,
you know, they have a lot of star names, but they remind me an awful lot of what PSG are at the minute. They're a set of individuals who are capable of individual moments. They're just not capable of winning anything over the course of a season. They really are so far away, you know. And United fans will blame Ollie, they'll blame this, they'll blame that. They're deluding themselves. They really need to sit down and have an honest conversation with themselves about where their club is. They're not far away from where Spurs were and where Spurs are at the minute. It won't take much for United to flip a switch and be what Spurs are now.
Yeah, it's strange because you've seen people saying like Ole's United career kind of rests on this, and you know, I don't know, like I'm not really arsed if his career rests on this or not. I just want to go out and beat them. And I think, you know what, I think Liverpool, I think you're spot on what you say. I think we play the game and not the occasion, because I think United fans, as much as we don't like them, I think they'll try and make that as much of an occasion as they can to be a leveler, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, they'll try to be a bigger influence than they ever have been, because I think they know hand on heart that if these teams go in and play, Liverpool will go and win. But we'll have to wait and see. Veranda Cheese is clearly on the cans. He says, I'm going to make a mad prediction here, and we're going to beat United like they beat Southampton last year with the highest win in Premier League history. Maguire red card in the 8th minute and a goal bonanza. If that happened, my head would fall off. Genuinely.
I'll tell you what, I would be so watching the Sunday night show.
I'd
be sat there like 20 minutes early in the chat.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah.
Just pouring cans over your own head.
Bring it on.
Waiting for it to happen. Salah versus Shaw versus Slabhead equals a madness, says Ham Waller. And Bojan, last thing on it. Bojan, you know, they're rudderless ship, but a proper manager, they could make significant strides because they have some brilliant players. You're correct.
I think they can.
And the reason being is because not only have they got some good players, I think the proper person in there to change their attitude rather than anything else, I think, would be key to them. genuinely. I think there's a few of them in there that just look at Solskjaer and go, I'm fucking bigger than you. You know, sort of way. And
I think that's
where I might be. But look, other big games around Europe. Inter play Juventus, Barcelona against Real Madrid. Let's do some predictions before we finish out. So Barca Real,
I think Real beat them 4-0.
Okay. I fancy Real heavily as well.
Yeah. They had a good win in the week, and Barcelona are just blooding kids. They're blooding kids, man. They're in a sorry state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, look, people can laugh and joke about it, but at the end of the day, they're still an institution in world football, and the Messiah will produce talent. They're signing players up to ridiculous extensions.
Mm-hmm.
But if they can keep the core of a youth site and bring them through together, they could be there. If they get the investment that they're needed, 2-3 years, they're not going to disappear. But at the moment, they're cannon fodder, and there's a real chance that they might not qualify for the Champions League next year.
Yeah, Midnight Hawker has Real by 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Barca shock 2-1 win for Santandy. Fatty to get the goals.
It'd be some game.
And Laura Duffy says Barca is Fatty's team now. So, of course, there is extensions going on there, and they're trying to keep hold of them players. Yeah. And hope.
Talk for us about us, Dembele will come up again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cloptimistic Red Steve says Fatty just signed a new contract. How long has Pedri got on his? I think Pedri is up for renewal as well.
He's on the verge, or he's either. I think Gavi's signed. Ansu Fati has signed. Pedri will be next if he hasn't already signed. But they're signing up all the kids. So whatever promises they're making them, they must be telling them that they're going to build a club around them, and they're going to be the future, you know? So
yeah, it's one of those. Let me see. But Bejan says they both signed for $1 billion buyout.
Yeah, and
Midnight Talker, it'll be men against boys, like Kev says, in his opinion. Just in Italy, because that big game in Inter versus Juve, Napoli flying, I think they're 8th, in Serie A. You look at Juventus struggling a little bit. Milan are keeping pace with Napoli and Inter, I think, are 3rd or 4th at the moment as defending champions. That's a big game for both of them, isn't it? So it even early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, Napoli with Osimhen up front, or Osimhen is... He had a big move from France, and his first season he was quiet. He didn't really do much, but he's kicked on this season. He is seriously quick, lightning quick, and he's developed his game now. He looks like a proper 9. He's one to watch. You got Tammy Abraham with Roma. Started off the season like a house on fire, and has tailed off a little bit. So that would be an interesting game. But Inter Milan, Juventus will be the big game. It is the big game. It's a massive, massive game, no matter where Juventus are. And Juventus has struggled at the start of the season. Not Antonio. Who's the manager that went back there? Because he was there for a good few years. Someone in the chat will stick.
Allegri?
Allegri. Allegri is their manager. And there was, I think, one of the... one of their centre backs came out against with quotes about Ronaldo.
Oh, saying that if he left in August,
they'd have given him a chance to replace him. But he left it so late, he shafted him basically.
Yeah,
and I think De Bea is injured, but he should be available for the bench. But Juventus need to win. They've lost a lot of ground at the start of the season, so they've got to try and get something this weekend. I think that's Sunday evening. Maybe Sunday 7-8 o'clock or something like that, but that's always a good game. You know, they're always decent games. There's not much going on in Germany this week. Marseille and PSG will be another one.
Oh, another belter, yeah.
Yeah, Marseille are, well, apparently the PSG fans have been banned from traveling.
Yeah,
this weekend because of the trouble they've had before. So it'll be a white hot atmosphere in Marseille.
In the Velodrome.
Weekend. Yeah.
So before we go, that link, by the way, should be sorted.
It was Chiellini, Laura's on the ball.
Yeah, that link should be sorted in your show description now for the Man on Football Show. And of course, if you go to Twitter at Man on Footy Show, the Twitter page is there, and we will be from Monday, we will be updating people on what we're doing, and we'll be looking for suggestions as to what you would like to see on shows. But if you can support us, great. If you like talking about European football, South American football, MLS, internationals, lower league, whatever it might be, we're going to try to talk about as many things as possible twice a week, for about an hour to an hour and a half. We might push it to an hour and a half, but we're trying to work the schedule around this channel as well, because people that work on that channel work on this channel. So we're trying to do our absolute best not to clash. Kev, the big one is United and Liverpool at the weekend. Yeah. But aside from that, you can pick one other match or sporting event over the weekend to watch. What are you watching?
I'm watching the F1. Depending on how the United Liverpool game goes, if we get a positive result, I'm going to sit back with a few cans and watch the F1 Sunday night and put my feet up and relax. So stick the red zone on later.
Okay. You're not allowed to watch the red zone. Watch the Formula One.
I can watch Formula One. Red zone's on later. I'll stick red zone on.
No. I said you can only watch one.
Bollocks. Formula One then. It'll be Formula One. So that championship is heating right up. It'll be the F1.
No worries.
You got tomorrow Brighton, now. You've got three games tomorrow.
Brighton against City.
Brighton City could be a tasty one.
Yeah, I think that's the one I might go for. Brighton against City, just to see what goes on there. Brighton have started well. They do draw against Arsenal. They draw away to Norwich. Just kind of burst up a little bit, but, you know, they were flying, absolutely flying before those two draws. But, it should be good.
The thing is, now, these are the type of games City would expect to be going to win, and they're often the games that they can have trouble with.
Yeah.
You know, so Potter has given Pep issues and problems before, so yeah, that'd be a decent game. That
somebody
still think the Wolves Leeds game that link tomorrow would be interesting.
You know, somebody tell me that link is not working. Well, I'm clicking and it's working here, so I don't know what's going on there, but it is working. But the link is also in the link is also on the Twitter page as well. Yeah, I think City Brighton, I think it might be one to watch just for the crack
tomorrow. Right, tea time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's about it. We've covered loads of sport.
Shed loads, man. There is shed loads on this weekend, though. It's an unusual one, so plenty there for everyone.
Yeah, and there's people there.
The Strictly is on tomorrow night as well. So,
well, there's people there telling me that the link isn't working. I don't know what device you're on, but it's just let me double check. I'll turn down the volume here so I don't hear myself in the background. And this is great podcasting right now.
Yeah, Red Steve, that's an interesting show with Chelsea and Norwich. With Chelsea missing two strikers now.
They'll still beat Norwich.
They should do. Well, they will do, yeah. But they're going to be putting an awful lot of work on Kai Havertz until the other lads come back. That's what I said at the start of the season. Them letting Giroud and Sammy both go could come to knock them later on.
The only thing is, I think it'll push them into a different style, because when you watch them early in the season, Lukaku was the focal point and they played everything off him, and they let the likes of Mount, Havertz, whoever else run off him. I think you might just end up going with Havertz up front and they just try to use him.
Hudson-Odoi, or
Mount or whatever they can find in around them, because that's the key to their game for me. And Havertz, he won't do exactly what Lukaku does, not a chance, but if he can do 70% of what they do, what he does, I think that they'll be okay. But
I think it'd be interesting if he can handle the workload. That's the thing.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they get on now, especially with them being out probably till, well, Lukaku looks mid-December. Werner could be a bit longer than that, I think I read, but we'll have to wait and see.
And they lose Zajic as well in the AFCON. So
The link it probably won't work because you've watched this video continuously. I've changed the link mid-show, so you probably have to just refresh your page and you get a new link and that'll bring you in. But as I said, subscribe if you can. It's on the Twitter page. Share it around. And as I said, it's going to be a football show about all sorts of football, and it won't be just they won that game. It'll be stories from football as well. We're just going to cover as much as we can. Very light-hearted, but debate at the same time, because you don't really put us together and it ends up just lighthearted. There's always a bit of a debate goes on, but it's something we're just looking to have a bit of fun with. And if we can get support for it, great. Absolutely brilliant. Kev, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Enjoyed tonight. It was really good.
It was good crack. Yeah. It was really good. And look,
thanks everyone in the chat as well, by the way.
Yeah, the chat's been great.
Chat's been hopping all night. It's been great. Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
It's been great. We're still trying to get in contact with Laura Duffy's representatives with regards to coming on the show. They're harder to get hold of than Mo Salas, I'm going to be honest with you. There's been so many people calling for Laura Duffy to come on the show.
Laura's definitely got it.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't put under any pressure to come on because some people just like being in the chat and having a chat. We wouldn't do that. And listen, the chat has been brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. With regards to the weekend, we're off tomorrow. Three shows Sunday, pre and post match, and then the Fatback 4 Sunday night, and then we're back into next week. Next week looks like the Forum on Monday. The midweek fix will be Tuesday, I think, because we play Preston on Wednesday. Wednesday. So we'll have a pre and post match for that. Carnage on Thursday. Back with this Sports Unplugged on Friday. Two shows on the Saturday for Brighton. I'm in Liverpool for that game, so the lads will be looking after that. And then the Sunday will be the Fatback 4, and Keith is looking after that one while me and Shawnee are having a romantic weekend away with Andy. So make that what you want. Right, that has been Sports Unplugged. Thanks a million for watching, and we'll talk to you soon. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.